Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. And this is episode 200. 200. And we don't have anything big planned for this other than the new perk for brioche tier patrons. Speaking of which, if you are enjoying the ad-free podcast, please consider supporting it. For as little as $1 a month, you can get bonus episodes and priority for your questions and raffles. And brioche tier patrons just got their new perk, a pattern designed just for us from Vanessa Ewing. And our yarn patron, as always, is Turtle Pearl Yarns, and we have a coupon code in the show notes. And I keep stuttering and not speaking very smoothly because my Fitbit's going off telling me someone's calling. And I know it's spam, but that distracted me. But I'm here. I'm here for episode 200.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Casey?
I'm good. I've had a whirlwind of travel the last couple of weeks. So I'm happy to be settled down again.
You were in San Francisco and New York.
It was bonkers. I went to San Francisco, drove from San Francisco to Lake Tahoe, turned around and came back to San Francisco, flew to New York, and then spent a couple nights there and then flew home. And then got home for 2 days and then drove to Buffalo for a wedding.
So. Oh, okay. I was thinking Buffalo, New York is not New York City, right? So You were in San Francisco for your real job and then York for friends and then Buffalo for a wedding.
Well, New York and San Francisco both had work elements to them. So,
World traveler. From one coast to the other, it's a long trip.
I know. And I was running on steam, but it was really fun. And just to be back out in the world after the pandemic, it just felt good.
Well, and you're saying after the pandemic. It's not really after the pandemic, but you're vaccinated.
But and plus San Francisco and New York City, they're really good. You have to show your vaccine card to get into a restaurant.
Oh, right. And
stuff like that. So I felt pretty good about
that's
being
good.
There.
Okay. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something about the new perk for brioche tier patrons, the Autumn Crunch Shawl. We're getting great feedback. People are, I think they've already started knitting it. I have to check the hashtag, hashtag Autumn Crunch Shawl, because in the post, I told people to start using that hashtag, but it hasn't been up very long. So I doubt anyone's halfway through it or anything, but the feedback has all been really good. I think people like this perk and I'm glad because it's kind of different than what we've done up to this point. But I also wanted to be transparent because everyone who supports the podcast really at any level, can feel good about the deal that we worked with Vanessa to get this pattern for us. Yeah. And you can imagine I'm all about paying designers for the work that they do because it's hard work. And normally when someone designs something for someone else, not to distribute on their own, they're paid a little bit of money, usually with the idea that the exposure will be great for you. that doesn't actually pay any bills. They're paid a little bit of money and that's it. Because of the power of the podcast, we were able to pay Vanessa well and enough money so that she could hire a tech editor to go over the pattern to make sure it was error-free. And when this perk is over, we are giving her the licensing back to her pattern. She will retain the rights to it forevermore so that she can distribute it as she wants. She can sell it. We're not keeping the rights to it. And I haven't heard this deal ever worked out with a designer before, but it was something I came up with as a designer myself who has, years ago, I was selling patterns to books and magazines and just making, putting in a month's worth of work for a couple few hundred dollars, which, I mean, again, doesn't pay the bills. But maybe, because of what we were able to do here, again, the power of the podcast, we were able to work out this deal and maybe designers can start asking for this sort of deal moving forward. I hope so. Everyone in the podcast should feel really good about the pattern that we got and working with Vanessa, she's delightful. And her yarn is beautiful. Her designs are great. It's and she was also so great with listening to my input. She wanted my input on the pattern as she was designing it. And right. So I was able to say, yeah, we don't want wrong side fair aisle. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's a flat piece. And yeah. I said, gosh, you know, I've bitched about it so much in the podcast. There's no way we can have a design with wrong side fair aisle in it. So she's like, okay, we'll do a mosaic pattern, a slip stitch pattern.
Yeah.
So she was good to work with. Anyway, I wanted to be transparent about that because I posted a comment on Facebook about it and I got a couple comments back saying, you need to say this louder. Other people need to hear this. I'm like, yeah, right on. Okay, I'll say it louder. I'll say it on the podcast in episode 200.
Yeah. Well, hopefully more designers will get what they deserve because it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And especially if she's paying a tech editor to make sure that the pattern's error-free.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think that's all the stuff I wanted to say before we get into the knitting questions.
Okay.
And this first one here is a follow-up.
Yep. We had somebody who called in.
Called.
Who wrote in about their adding needles, what would you call it?
Tarnishing.
Tarnishing. And so this follow-up says, Addie guarantees needles for life. The listener can simply go to the shop where she bought the needles to exchange for a new one or email Skaisel. Is that how you say it?
Skaisel, Skassel, I'm not sure. Skassel,
the maker of Addie needles. I've had a number of Addies develop bad joins, and I've gotten new ones from the online shop, and I didn't even need to return the bad needles. This was from Karen, a longtime listener.
Yes, and I got this message from a few different people saying that Addie guarantees their needles for life. So if something goes weird with your Addie needles, you can get a replacement for free, mm-hmm. which I think I knew somewhere in the back of my head, but I hadn't thought about it in years.
Yeah.
So that's good news because the needles are expensive. Good needles are expensive. And if you know that size 7, 32-inch circular is your needle for life because Addie will replace it, it makes the investment a little bit easier.
For sure. I figured they had something like that. all right, here's a question. This is a Patreon question. Hello, I have a question about Irish wool. You mentioned it on a recent podcast. I'm going to Ireland in the middle of October and would like to buy some yarn there. What issues should I be aware of when buying the yarn there? I know this is short notice, but I hope you can answer my message. Thanks for all your help. I love the podcast and all the information you share. Hugs to you both, Carol from Maryland. P.S. I follow the rules even though I'm not from Canada. Love your humor.
Americans, people all over the world can follow the rules. And I'm going to turn to you here as our Irish wool expert buying yarn in Ireland. Do you have any experiences to share?
An expert. Well, just the thing that I learned on the podcast is that very little wool stays in Ireland. It tends to go over to the UK. I'm not sure if that's changed since Brexit, but some groups were trying to keep it there, raised in Ireland and spun in Ireland. So that's just like if you want true Irish wool, that's something to look for. The stuff that's really traditional, it tends to be really sticky wool. So it's not going to be the softest stuff you find. It's going to be great for your fisherman sweaters.
Right.
And color work, stuff like that. So the first thing, my mother-in-law got me some yarn years and years ago from Ireland. But my husband loves the sweater. I knit him the cobblestone sweater by Jared Flood. But it was rough, and I washed it and tried to condition it. But he wears it now, and he just wears a long sleeve shirt under it.
Exactly, yeah.
So
it is the kind of yarn. If you knit a sweater from it, you're going to wear a T-shirt underneath it for sure.
Yeah.
But those Irish wool sweaters are rugged. They will last forever. That yarn, there's maybe something about yarn that is a merino or super soft, or it's just not as durable as that Irish wool yarn.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think for Carol, find your yarn, wherever you end up finding it, and buy at least a sweater's worth because that's what you want to make from that really sticky wool yarn.
Yeah.
You don't want to make a baby blanket. You don't want to make, gloves or a hat. A sweater is what you want to make. Right. A very cool sweater. Yeah.
Yes.
Have fun on your trip. And actually, Carol is is a patron, and she submitted this question. And normally I would put these questions, you know, her question at the bottom of the list because it was new, but I saw that she's actually traveling this month. And so I put her question right at the top of the list.
Okay, this is another Patreon question. Hello, my favorite knitters. This is a comment, not a question. I'm a new Patreon patron. And it looks like even if you're late coming to Patreon, you have access to bonus episodes from the past. To me, that's a huge perk. Maybe it will encourage people who are hanging back a bit to know this. Thank you so much for being there for your fans. Rebecca from Portland, Oregon. Oregonians are almost as obedient as Canadians.
what is with a... It's funny that everybody's saying that. But yes, if you become a patron, anytime you become a patron, she says late to the game. It's not late to the game. Anytime you join is the perfect time. But you get access to every bonus episode that you missed. They're all there. So. Right.
Yep. Patron question. A question from a very old pink project. I enjoyed knitting Stella. I don't know how to say Stella's last name.
I had to learn how to say it for the video. It's the undulating line sweater.
Mm-hmm. So how do you say it?
I don't remember.
Stella Egidis. I'm going to say it. I don't know. It's E-G-I-D-I. That's why it's hard to say.
She's the designer for the undulating lines pullover. Yes.
Yeah. And appreciated your guidance and video on it. I don't think I would have tried it if you hadn't done this tutorial. Anyway, I love it, but notice that it tends to sag down my arms as the yoke stretches. I've seen where some knitters use crochet reinforcement chains to prevent this. But since there are no raglans in the pattern, I'm at a loss as to how you would add structure to the design that the design doesn't provide. Your thoughts. Thank you so much, Susan.
Hi, Susan. This is a good question. I'm not sure that I have 100% great answer for this. I knit that sweater. I wear that sweater when it's cold. I think the sweater's from last year, so I've only just had one winter to wear it. And I haven't had any issue with the yoke of the sweater stretching down and kind of, you know, sagging at the neck, you know, and the underarms. I have not had that issue at all. So I'm wondering if maybe Susan used a different yarn that ended up being a slightly different gauge that isn't quite as snug. I'm not sure, but the undulating lines pullover has this design, and someone said it looks like lines, ski slope lines, like skis going down a hill in the snow. And that's kind of what it looks like. And it's a slip stitch design with rib. And so I can see that the ribbing would allow for some give. I just haven't had that issue at all with my sweater. Hmm. Now, she says some knitters use crocheted reinforcement chains to prevent this. And I can see that you can do what's called a surface stitch with a crochet hook. So you turn the sweater inside out, and then where raglan lines would appear in a sweater, which is like from the neck to the underarm, front, front, back, back, you can do what's called a surface stitch, and you just picking up the back of the stitches, do a little crochet chain down where the raglan lines would be. And if you use the same color of yarn, it's not going to show, and you're only picking up the back of the stitch. And that seems like it would provide structure. Like what that's something that she's recommended in that surface stitch. And I can put a link to my surface stitch video in the show notes. If you also did... I was thinking if you also did kind of a ring around the neckline and then down the raglan lines, but then you wouldn't be able to get it over your head. Mm-hmm. So, I want to help Susan, but I'd also like to know, why is her sweater doing that? Why is that happening?
Yeah. I wonder if the yarn is super heavy.
If the yarn is heavy, or if the gauge ended up being, the yarn has a lot more give to it maybe, because the yarn that's used in that sweater is not quite an Irish wool, but it's a little bit rougher than a merino or something. It feels a little bit rougher. I mean, there might be merino in it, but it has a tight twist to the plies. It's sturdy. So anyway, Susan, I think your idea of the reinforcement chains on the inside of a sweater, also called surface crochet stitch or chain, I think that's a good idea. And let us know how that works out.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Patreon question. After I knit a hat, I soak it in a rinseless soap in a small bucket before placing it on a metal hat stand block. But sometimes I forget that I'm soaking it and hours will go by before I remove it. Is there a recommendation for how long you should soak a knitted item? Have I been damaging my knitted items by soaking them too long? Thanks, Audrey from Gearheart, Oregon.
Audrey, no, you're not hurting anything. You figure before it was a hat, the sheep could stand in the rain all day. It was fine. It's okay. I think if you look at the soap that you're using, look at the instructions for it. I've seen instructions as little as soak for 10 minutes up to soak for 2 hours. Like,
yeah,
I'm not sure that it makes a huge difference. I kind of just stick with 30 minutes about for soaking. How long do you usually soak them?
That's what I thought the instructions said, like 30 minutes, but sometimes I don't even let it go that long, and it depends. And then I also have done the same thing where I forgot it was in the sink and walked away and forgot until I came back, and it's fine.
Until you got hungry and you came back and you wanted to use the sink or something.
It's usually in the bathroom.
Okay. I don't think it makes a huge difference. And I'm thinking, because Eucalan is the soap that I always have on hand. The Eucalan jasmine smell is so good. And that's just like, to me, after using it for a few years now, that is the smell of a new knitted item, is that Eucalan jasmine. No, it's not. Is it called jasmine? It has a jasmine smell to it, but I don't think it's called. I think it has a different name. And I know it has a different name. Now, I just can't think of what it is.
Yeah.
And I can't reach the bottle under the sink, but I can put it in the show notes because it does smell so good. Yeah. But no, you're not going to hurt anything by letting it soak. You're not damaging anything at all. No, no, no. Yeah. It's not going to melt away.
All right. Another Patreon question. Aloha. So often, knit podcasters refer to their thingy of yarn as a skein, but Stacy seems to use hank more often than skein. Is there a difference? If yes, will you explain what differentiates one from the other? Mahalo, Lisa. I'm going to assume she's in Hawaii.
We're going to assume she's from Hawaii, or she's been there before. Yeah. Lisa, yes, I actually have a video called Skein Ball Hank. Yeah, it's something like that. And I can link to that video, but I can give a quick rundown now. Also, the words are different depending on where you are in the world. I got an email from someone from Australia, and I think they kind of call more things a skein than we do. Like, a skein's a very specific thing to us. But a hank is when you buy usually nice yarn, maybe from an indie dyer, that is twisted up into what looks like, what's that donut called? A twist. I think there's a
cinnamon twist.
Yeah, a cinnamon twist donut. It looks like a cinnamon twist donut. And when you untwist it, you get a big circle of yarn, a big giant loop circle of yarn that you put on the swift, and you use the ball winder and you wind up. Okay, that's a hank. A skein is something that's already wound and is kind of an elongated shape. That's a skein. And then you can get a pre-wound ball, like from the manufacturer, not a hand-wound ball, but a pre-wound ball that is a center pull, more of a ball shape. And we call that a ball of yarn, but then also a hand-wound ball of yarn is also a ball of yarn. But I think the two biggest ones are skein and hank. Mm-hmm. And I think in Australia, they call hanks of yarn skeins of yarn. And it might even be that in Australia, they call also the opposite being true. They call a skein of yarn a hank of yarn.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. But I know the words that we use in the U.S. is hank for the cinnamon twist and skein for the elongated shape that's wound up by the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. This is a Patreon question. This is kind of a follow-up to another question we had. She says, I look forward to the podcast and being a patron. If you're converting a woman's pattern to fit a man, there's one measurement that I would alter, and that is the arm sigh. That's ARMSCYE, if you're wondering what that is. It is deeper for men, and that's Mary Pat from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hi, Mary Pat. I think her follow-up question here is the question we had from the guy who was wondering if there was a major difference between women's and men's sweater patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And arm sigh, someone's going to tell me how to pronounce that properly. I did look it up. I did not look up the pronunciation because I didn't know what that was. But It's the measure from the top of the shoulder to the armpit or around right there. And so Mary Pat's saying that that measurement is deeper on men and, you know, smaller on women, just being that I suppose most women have smaller arms than men. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that it's a major concern if you're looking at a sweater pattern, if you're looking at making something that's labeled a men's sweater pattern for a woman or the other way around, just because most sweaters don't fit tight up into the armpit. It just mm-hmm. wouldn't be a super, I mean, sometimes we have fitted sweaters. Usually you see that sort of thing more with a t-shirt or an undershirt. Sweaters are meant to fit a bit more loosely. And so mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it's a major concern. I think the thing that you're going to look at the most and that you're going to choose your size based on is the chest / bust measurement. Mm-hmm. Do you want to get one more question in for episode 200?
Sure. I will. This says, Dear Stacey and Casey, I really enjoy your podcast, Casey's insight to the social side of knitting and Stacey's clear explanations. I have an additional remark about the asymmetrical Vs in stockinette. My colleague had the same problem and she found that it could be related to the type of yarn. The article on Knitty, this article that she linked to here on Knitty, describes that it's related to the way the yarn is plied. The strain with the yarn causes the asymmetrical pattern. I hope this is information can be helpful. Kind regards, Albertine from Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
It's funny, I've got this question in here, but we had a similar question a few weeks ago, and I linked this article because she sent me this link and it was fresh on my mind. So I'll put the link in the show notes again about the plies on the yarn and the shape of your stockinette Vs.
Yep.
But we've mostly covered that already.
Yeah.
Well, Casey, I'm about to start coughing from allergies, so I should probably blow my nose and get a drink of water. We can wrap this episode up for now. If people want to find you online?
Just find me on Instagram. It's kcknits.com or kc.knit. So that's the letter K and the letter C. Someday I'll blog again.
Well, let's let you not be so busy world traveling first. And for me, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel, verypink.com. And I'm Very Pink Knits on Instagram. And that is it for right now because I'm about to start coughing. We got through this whole episode without a dog barking, though. I'm excited about that. Okay. I really am going to start coughing. So until next week. Oh, next week's a bonus episode just for patrons. Stay warm, my friends.